Page 94.
Yeah.
Somewhere somebody is praying tonight for loved ones who've wandered away from the light. Faith reaches heaven and God is aware, and forever is changed in one moment of prayer. A bed holds a body and it's peril with pain. The doctors have tried, but hope is in vain. Oh, but wait, someone's praying in the midst of the gloom. All at once, the great physician steps into the room. Oh, there's power in prayer, power to spare. Amen. You ever need is waiting right there. A few words, a child's faith, and it's goodbye spare. Oh, there's power, so much power. There's power in prayer.
With the privilege of writing a song, it has to do a lot of times with an experience that they face, and you'll never forget it. The individuals that lost their life yesterday in that accident, the remainder of the family will never go by that intersection again and look at it the same way. And you know, You know that's happened if you've ever lost a loved one in a car accident. You'll remember the rest of your days, and you'll never forget that. But God does put something in our heart to know if there is a better day. And I trust you pray. Pray one for another. Pray for those that's sick, those not with us. We miss, you know, I like to mess with Brother Jackie when he's not here. I can't cut up with him. So hopefully Lord knows and he'll get better soon. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. I appreciate you being here. I'm glad to be in the house, Lord, myself. I enjoyed the singing. We sometimes take for granted, and I appreciate the singing. 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Now about that time, verse 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intended after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. May we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight. Thank you, Lord, for loving us despite us and helping us when we're weak. And God, as we depend upon you, I just trust and pray you touch every heart that's here. You know every need that every one of us needs. And God, we may all be different in our needs, but God, you are common in our heart. And I thank you, God, that you know what we stand in need of most, and you accomplish that which's in your will. And God, we never falter nor fail. We never worry nor fret that we don't know that you're not with us in trusting and guiding us. And I thank you, God, for the privilege of reading this word. And I pray you help us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 says, when Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Certain. That meant that it was a situation where I would call it random, but they would pick out individuals of the church, not for good. You know, a lot of churches have been known to have a strong preacher or a strong deacon or a strong member. Maybe somebody that sings really well and they go, and their reputation might go outside the walls of the church. This was not the case. They weren't looking for individuals to be a blessing to somebody else. In fact, the opposite. If they could find a way to stop the church, friend, that was their avenue that they wanted to do. Do you think the devil's changed? No, he's not. The devil would love to stop the church in every way he possibly can. And if he can get the leaders of the church, if he can get them, then friend, he may have a little bit more say-so in the church. There's been different preachers that's come along the journey that as they travel the journey, they get sidesteps, as we might call it, and no longer the preacher of the church. What it does, it devastates the people because they have confidence in that preacher. But we shouldn't have confidence in man. We shouldn't, but we do. We shouldn't trust man, but we do. We're all subject to failure. We're all subject to times whenever we're weak. But friend of mine, God is never weak. He'll never fail us. He'll always seek our good, and he'll always do his will, and we need to follow his will. Now, we know very little about what was going on. We know that there's power. We know God has power. But I want you to watch when it said they vexed certain of the church. It didn't take them long to kill James, the brother of John. Didn't take them long.
It was fact of first thing on the agenda, we're going to kill one. Now, in our terminology, what in the world did he do wrong? He didn't do nothing wrong. Now, when God looks at this, well, God could have prevented it. God could have said, no, this ain't going to happen. This man is loves me, cares for me, part of the church, not going to let it happen. God didn't intervene. God didn't stop it. God allowed it to happen. Now, for an individual that's born again, this is the hard part. Death is a graduation. That's a hard part. We never know what our life has a meaning to somebody else. We don't know how much James had an influence on others. But we do know this, that God did not intervene. God did not do and change the circumstances like we see with the Apostle Peter. He did not change the circumstances to make it so. In fact, he already had something in the works, but there was something going on a whole lot bigger than just letting someone die. When David sinned, and they later Bathsheba and they had that baby, and that baby was not going to live. Now that baby was going to die. But David prayed, and David sought God's face. When you pray, we know that we can influence God with our prayer. God has been known to change things along the journey. But in David's case, God never moved. That baby was going to die. But what he allowed David to comprehend, that he could not bring that child back. Remember that part? When that child died, he could not bring that child back. But he said this statement, I can go to where that child is. Now, how come he made a statement like that? Did he have a knowledge that me and you, we got a Bible we read from, we know that we've got a better place to go if we're born again. If we're born again, whenever we die, heaven's going to be our home. Hey, it's a destination that if you're born again, it's a destination just awaiting right for us. But friend, when James died, and I want to call it suddenly, well, did the church have time to pray? Did the church gather to pray? Did they have power with God? Were they able to bring that petition in front of God and make a change? Because I want to tell you, it'd be very easy to think, boy, there's power in prayer. And we look at this, and we've used it many times, and we can look at whenever they prayed, and boy, they prayed earnestly, and it worked. It worked. Man, circumstances change. But I want to go to something else in here, and I want you to look just with me if you don't mind. I want you to look in later on in this verse. We know that they were praying. The Bible says in verse 5, what we read, that Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. We know that was happening. We know that they were praying. But watch as we read verses 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so did he. So he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. In my terminology, or yours, we might say, man, he thought it was a dream. He thought, how is this possible? How is it possible? Well, we dream dreams. Sometimes it's the desires of our heart. Sometimes when we're dreaming, we're asking God. Did the Apostle Peter not want to go to heaven? Friend, I don't know of an individual that's saved that doesn't want to go to heaven. In fact, I believe that when it comes time for us to kind of go, our conversation, our thinking, our motivation is not in this world, it's in that other world. If we have any time at all, our mode is about the other world. When the Apostle Peter was watching the activities and heard that James had lost his life and now they'd captured him, common sense said, well, I'm next. You know what you would think? I better get ready. Now, he was saved. What do you mean get ready? All of a sudden, you're thinking it's not about this world. You're thinking about that other world. How often do we think about what kind of gain, like Paul said, what kind of gain when we leave this world and go to another world? What accomplishment would be better? Friend, it was almost like, oh, you wish for it. When you're in a lot of pain and suffering, you'll almost wish for death. Now, if you're not in pain and suffering, you won't do that. But if you're in a lot of pain and suffering from whatever might be a disease or cancer or whatever, you'll wish, Lord, take me home. Amen. When God kind of gets a language in you that you can understand, and when God motivates you to say you got a better place to go. In fact, when the Apostle Peter saw this circumstances, it would have been very easy for him to say, well, I just going on. And he says it like this. It's almost like a vision, like a dream. The angel Lord woke him up and moved him outside. Chains fell off. Things change. Circumstances change. Friend, when we start thinking about our other world, things like the chains of this life will just kind of fall away. We're heavily bowed down with burdens in this life. There's not a one of us that don't carry burdens almost on a daily basis. Our troubles are many. We carry more than we should. We do more worrying than we should. We do more taking thought of that cubit that God said, don't do it. But we worry, we fret, we stress everything we do, and we think we got to handle it all. But God handles it. God handles it. And when Peter was thinking, it's just going to be really quick and I'm going on to heaven. And then this happens. When this happens, it was almost like God has something else in my life. You never know when you're going to leave, but before you leave, if God's got something for you to do, you need to do it. We don't know when our last work on earth is done. Now, when I say that, let me tell you, it's not to get you to heaven, no, sir. It's a job that God has for you until you go. If the Apostle Peter had died the same day as James, look what the church would have not realized. Because when they prayed and prayer was made in that church and they gathered together in prayer, and friend, when God answered that prayer and the Apostle Peter came knocking on the door, they realized, they all of a sudden, their mind changed in the power of prayer. And not just their mind. Right now in this assembly, we get in one mind and one accord. We can see prayer changes things even today. Today. It is wonderful. Brother Ricky Hood's going to have heart surgery in the morning. I talked to him yesterday. But whenever I went through that ordeal, I knew people were praying for me. I knew. But when it come time, and I told Brother Ricky this yesterday, when it come time, it wasn't nobody there when it comes surgery time but me and the Lord. They wouldn't let Charlene go back, none of my family, none of my friends. They all made them stay somewhere else. But the Lord went with me the whole journey. And you know something? When people are praying, when multiple people are praying, when the church is praying, when you're praying for one common thing, God hears that. Now, here's the reason why church is important. You can pray as an individual at home. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can do just as good as home. Oh, yeah, say what you want. But you can pray at home. But when you make a request known to the church, and the power that comes from people will gather together in that one common denominator, in that one common thing, and all are praying in that one thing, when God moves, God could answer that prayer. We believe in that. I believe in that. If I didn't believe that it would work, I'd never have a prayer request. We take time. We take time on Sunday morning. We take time on Wednesday. We take time for every individual that wants to say a word about a prayer request to say it. Now, does that mean I remember every single one? I remember every single one that God puts up on my heart to pray for. You say, preacher, I wouldn't even say that. Friend, when God puts you on my heart, that's the time to bring your name in front of Him. I'm not going to pray for Aunt Susie until God says, kind of leans on my heart to pray for Aunt Susie. You see my point? Friend, the church was praying for Peter. They had no, they couldn't pray for James. James was in good shape. But they prayed for the earnest desire. And friend, when that come to the Apostle Peter, it was like a vision. It was like a dream. How could this happen? How can things change that way? Friend, God knows exactly what He's doing in your life. And when you go through some very tough circumstances, God knows it. And if you will just turn it over to Him, God has a way for you. And that way may not always work out. Because, friend, there was loved ones probably. There was loved ones and friends and others that cared for James. But God called James home. But He left the Apostle Peter. God may call us home. That accident that happened yesterday was... That was just devastating. God has a reason. God has an understanding. God cares when we lose our loved ones. God knows your heart. God knows the greatest thing in the world that He will not put on us more than we're able to bear. God actually draws closer to us in our hour of need. In your hour of need, you could almost feel God. But there's so many other times when I don't know God's around. But friend, whenever I need Him most, He's there. And whenever He gets that close to you and your heart is broken and it just seems like you just don't know what to do and God draws closer to you, friend, there's not a friend in this world you'd rather have than the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. He loves you. Apostle Peter, whenever he went knocking on the door that day, whenever he went knocking, you know the story. They almost couldn't believe what they saw and what they heard. Sometimes it's just the way to explain it. It's like a miracle. In our present day, there's a lot of folks that like to claim, I got the power, I got the miracles, come to this church and we'll show you all that kind of stuff. I got news for you. The only miracles I want to see is the ones that come from God, not from man. Amen. And when God performs a miracle in your life, it ain't for me to start bragging around the world. No, sir. It's for me to thank God what he done in my life. I'd rather have Jesus answering my prayers than anything in this world. But if God doesn't, like James, if God doesn't, friend, James is better off. James is better off. Some of our loved ones right now some of them are suffering. You hate to see it. You hate to go and see visit some of our church members that are suffering right now. You hate it. But friend, they've had a testimony that they're going on. God's going to allow it one day. And when God allows it, we need to thank God for it. Because the Bible says in everything, give thanks. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to say thank you, Lord, when you lose your loved one. But God knows. One final thing. When the Apostle Peter appeared back to them, knocked on the door, they couldn't believe what was going on. You know what that did to their prayer life? It's the same thing that does to mine and yours. Every time God leads you, and every time God directs you, and every time that God answers your prayer, you ought to thank God. Amen. You. Not tell somebody, boy, you ought to thank God for that. No, you ought to. You ought to get on your knees and say, God, I know I'm not worthy, but God, I'm thankful that you saw fit, like that song Charlene sung this morning, a little old bitty person like me, that you were willing to answer my prayer. And when everybody in the church does that, on that common denominator, can you believe the power that comes from that individual church when they know they've got a hold of God? We're fighting a battle in our church world today. We got all kinds of battles where people don't want to do this, don't want to do that. But I got news for you. If we'll come together in one mind and one accord, we're going to have a meeting with God. And there's still folks that can be saved if we present them to God and let God convict their soul. You know something? I believe in power and prayer. Brother Kevin, would you get us a song? I don't know a lot. Very ignorant. I like to read from the Bible and listen to what it has to say. And when it says something like this, kind of shores me up a little bit more. Kind of makes me, whenever I pray and God answers, it kind of helps me another day, another prayer, another request. But friend, whenever God answers, it just seems like you step a little bit higher to know that God hears you and answers your prayer. If you're not saved tonight, I invite you to come. I'd love for you to know him. I'd love for you to feel the love that God's put in my heart. I'd love for you to feel that. I'd love for you to know that if you died, heaven be your home. Ain't that something? And it's something to know that you know that you know heaven's your home. I may never go back to Muscle Shoals, may never make it back. May never sleep another night at our house. But that's just temporary. I got a better one to go to. Well, there's no night there. Oh, where when Jesus comes, he said, you'll be with me always. Oh, thank God. Thank God. We got a better place. But if you're lost, you won't get to go unless you accept Jesus as your Savior. May we stand. God's speaking to you. I'd love for you to come to this altar. I'll pray with you.